Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours, as we always do. We've got some interviews lined up, so I hope you enjoy them. We're going to be talking to Crime Stoppers in a minute, Mia. We speak to her quite a bit, or monthly, actually. And then we'll be talking to we're going to hear all about this new Monopoly game that they're going to produce that's based on the Yarra Valley. So we want to hear about that. And then Mr. Excited will tell us about a few car shows you got coming up. And remember, a lot of his car shows are all about raising money for charity too. But first of all, it's my pleasure to introduce Mia from Crime Stoppers. Welcome, Mia.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm very well. Good to be back. First one of the year, I believe.
That's why I'm just going to say to you, Happy New Year. And did you have a good Christmas?
I did. It was lovely. And you?
I had terrific. Well, thanks. I was off for the whole of January, as I normally do. Now, I must just ask you, because you did tell the people on air you thought you were scammed with a wedding dress. How did that go? Were you scammed, or did it eventually turn up?
I was scammed, actually, but I was very lucky that I decided to pay through PayPal.
Yeah.
And because I did that, they were able to get my money back because I put in a dispute and it went. Then they replied to me, the store that I bought it through the PayPal, saying they're sorry and they'll give me a refund. That obviously never eventuated. And then I proceeded to go on with the complaint and PayPal gave me my money back, which was great. So that's a good lesson in paying with a secure payment.
I was just going to say that that's probably an absolutely great recommendation for the fact that you're able to get your money back.
Absolutely.
Now, Mia, you're going to talk about romance scams. Now, let me just say to you, pardon me, there's a scam I want to talk to you about after 12:30, which is one that I shared some of with the listeners just prior to Christmas. It wasn't me, but a couple of ladies I know could have very easily got sucked in. But I think that I think all scams are terrible. But to play on people's emotions where they think they might be coming up with the person, you know, the love of their life, and some of these, I mean, they're not playing on people that are in good relationships. They're playing on people who are very, very vulnerable, and particularly coming up to Christmas and things like that. Some of these people are extremely vulnerable.
Absolutely. These people are so, so vulnerable, and they are looking for connection. They're looking for someone to talk to. So they're playing on these people's emotions and their want to trust someone and have someone in their life. So it's a pretty manipulative scam. Yep. But put simply, a romance scam is when someone deceives you into believing that you're in a romantic relationship, but the goal is simply to take your money. There is no genuine connection. And these people are after one thing. That's your personal details. That's your money. And that's, and they'll leave as soon as they get that.
And as soon as they get that, they'll just leave you too, won't they?
Absolutely. They're not going to continue talking to you. Once they think they've fleeced you out of as much money as they can, they will cease all communication with you. And it will be completely over. So even if you have a feeling you might be getting scammed, but you want to keep talking to this person, just know that in the end, it's going to end up the same. You're not going to be speaking to them anymore. You may as well stop speaking to them before they've taken a lot of money from you.
Absolutely. So what actually is the scam? I mean, how do people sort of start to pick out this could be a scam?
Well, the way that it will sort of begin will be an unexpected message, either from someone you don't know or someone pretending to be an acquaintance that you don't really frequently interact with. And then from there, you'll start chatting, and conversations about a relationship or intimacy, they tend to happen really quickly. And they're often accompanied by some sort of fabricated sob story about some past mistreatment, bad luck in relationships, anything like that. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to prey on your compassion and, like I said, your loneliness. And they want to engage you in heartfelt conversation. They want to mirror your interests. So if you say, oh, I love hiking, I love camping, then sure enough, so will they. And they want to build trust with you by doing this, and they want to start planning a future. And then eventually the topic of money will come up. They may hope that you're going to just offer to help, but they might directly request financial assistance. And what will start out as, you know, maybe $100, maybe $50, will then lead to sort of a series of escalating demands. This will be now $1,000, $10,000, whatever it is they think they can get from you.
Or I'm stuck in Indonesia on the way over from England or something, and someone stole my money and I need money to get to Australia.
Absolutely, something like that. These are the types of stories they're going to create. They're going to try and, you know, it doesn't matter how ridiculous it is. Some people want to believe because they want a partner, and so that they've got that sort of mental block that keeps them from seeing the truth. But once they, you know, feel like they have taken as much money from you as they can, they're going to cut you off, like we said, and they're going to leave you, the victim, both emotionally, financially devastated. So falling victim to this type of scam can leave victims feeling really embarrassed, really ashamed. But, you know, if you reinforcing these feelings of blaming victims is really unhelpful, really harmful, because they're preying on the weaknesses of this victim, and they're doing it with, you know, great skills. So you got to approach these victims with compassion and sensitivity.
So how do you, if you feel that somebody in your family or somebody you know is falling into this sort of scam, how do you start the conversation?
Well, what you want to do is you want to understand their perspective first. So before you initiate a conversation, it's really essential that you understand their mindset. So victims, they might feel really deeply attached to this person, well, the scammer, but they believe it's, you know, a genuine relationship, and they might believe they've found true love. They might be quite embarrassed or defensive if you bring something like this up because they're fearing that you're judging them. They might be in denial and convinced that their relationship is really genuine despite whatever warning signs that have led you to want to have this type of conversation. And they might have already invested quite a significant amount of money and time into this person, and that might create a psychological barrier to admitting the truth both to you and to themselves. So if you want to start a conversation like this with someone you believe is a victim of a romance scam, firstly, empathy and patience, use non-judgmental language, and avoid making someone feel defensive. And there are certain lines you can use to broach this topic. You want to start maybe expressing concern. You can say something like, "Hey, I've noticed how happy this relationship seems to make you. I'm a little bit worried about something I've read online about online scams. Can we talk about it?" It's a great way that you're just talking about something that isn't directly you, their relationship. You might want to offer information. This could be, "I came across an article about romance scams and how convincing they can be. It made me think about the challenges people face online. Would you be open to discussing it?" Yeah. And then finally, you can take a personal sort of route and talk about sharing personal stories, something like, "You know, I recently heard about someone who got caught up in a scam. It was so convincing, even their closest friends were fooled. I just want to make sure everything is okay with your situation." This might be a way that they're like, "Okay, you're just understanding I'm in a relationship with someone I only know online. I see why you might be concerned." So they might be open to talking about it.
Sounds terrific. I've got to take one quick break, Mia, and we'll be back with more. talking to Mia from Crime Stoppers. Mia, if I said to someone, I just want to make sure you're safe, because sometimes people online aren't who they claim to be, what's a victim likely to say to me?
Well, you can get a couple of types of responses to these questions. You could get someone that's really defensive, someone that might say, why do you think they're lying? You don't know them like I do. You're just being paranoid. And if you want to respond to that, the way you want to do it is you say something like, oh, I understand you're upset. It's clear how much you care about this person. My only goal is to make sure that you're safe as well as happy. And you can even emphasize, you know, scams happen to anyone, even the smartest people. This is, once again, you're prioritizing their safety. You care about their safety. You're not trying to judge them. But someone might also be in denial. So you ask the same thing. You know, you're concerned about the things they've told you. You might say, if they're in denial, they might say, no, they've got a good reason for that. You know, their work is really demanding, or, you know, they're saving up to visit me. They'll come eventually. And, you know, you can say that makes sense. Scammers often come up with really convincing stories. Would you be open to looking into their claims together? Or, you know, could we check some facts about their story together just for peace of mind? These are the types of things that you can say if someone's, you know, defensive or in denial.
Yep. And I guess one of the best things that you can do also is to listen to what they've got to say, isn't it? Because otherwise they'll say, oh, you're judging me, or you're trying to put me down, or I haven't had love for some time and now all of a sudden I've got this relationship and you just don't want me to have it.
Exactly. And you want to come across caring and supportive rather than judgmental, or, you know, and sometimes you might think, am I the right person to be having this conversation with this person, as it needs to be coming from this place of concern and care. So if you aren't the right person to be having this conversation, then maybe encourage someone else to step forward and have that conversation with the victim. Because, yeah, it's not going to be received well if it's not coming from the right person, or if someone doesn't think that it's coming from a good place.
So how would I prepare? Like, it's no good going in like a bull in a china shop, as I used to say, and just say, well, this is stupid, and how are you? So you need to do a bit of work before you get involved in that conversation, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. You want to potentially prepare some resources. You can bring articles about this happening, reports, or even links to websites. Once again, focus on their safety. You want to emphasize that your goal is their safety, not to judge their decisions, you know? Don't say anything like, oh, it's so silly to be only talking to people online. Why? How could you think they're possibly real? Just be, you know, their only focus is their safety and making sure that they're not becoming a victim of a scam. You want to be patient, because it might not happen straight away. If the first time you have this conversation, they might not be receptive instantly. And it's really common for people to resist at first. But make sure, you know, you leave that door open and that they feel comfortable to come to you, in case you plant a seed of doubt. And then, you know, the next time they're talking to this, who they believe to be their partner, but is actually the scammer, they're realizing, you know, oh, that doesn't make sense. And then they're ready to talk to you and they come back. So yeah, leave that door open, let them know that you're there for them no matter what.
So for people who are listening today, what sort of things should they be looking out for to make sure it isn't a scam?
So some red flags that you want to be looking out for would be a person's refusal to meet in person or even via video call. This is a pretty big indicator that you're not actually speaking to who you believe you're speaking to. It might not even be a man. It might not even be a woman, you know, whatever it is. And it could just be, someone somewhere pretending to be someone else. Something if, you know, they're requesting money. If you don't know someone and you're speaking to them online, any requests for money, often if it's framed as urgent or life-threatening, it's very likely that you're a victim of a scam. And if overly romantic or even dramatic language is used early in relationships, promises of a really happy future together, these things are sort of love bombing that make you forget all the red flags and, you know, you get swept up in it. And as well as inconsistencies in their stories, they might be talking about, oh, I can't afford to get to my mum's funeral. And then, you know, a few weeks later, they're like, oh, my mum is sick. You know, you've got to be looking for these inconsistencies. And if it doesn't make sense, it's probably because it isn't a real person and it isn't a real story. It's all made up.
So what if the person I'm going to talk to refuses to listen? They just say, well, I'm not going to listen. I don't think I think you're bad.
Well, I think that, you know, some people will be defensive or unwilling to believe you. And in that case, you don't really want to force it. If you push too hard, it can backfire. It can damage your relationship. And then now they don't have that sort of support system if things do go wrong, or if they do eventually realize what's happening. You want to leave that door open, like I said, let them know that they can come through at any time if they start having doubts or even just to talk. You don't want to close that door off and be angry if they're unwilling to listen to you. And if you do feel like it's getting to a point where it's, you know, compromising their safety, their financial security, and they're just giving all their money away to this person and you believe it's a scam, and if you have enough evidence, you can consider reporting it yourself to, you know, either Victoria Police, potentially calling their bank, or Crime Stoppers Victoria,
and even Scam Watch.
Crime Stoppers Victoria is 1-800-333-000.
Or Scam Watch.
Or Scam Watch, exactly. You can report the scam there.
So I guess we've got, if you do know somebody that's involved in one, or you believe they may be, I mean, obviously the best approach is to approach them, but I guess you've got to take it fairly softly too, don't you?
Absolutely. You've got to, when you approach someone who may be a victim of a romance scam, you've got to go in there with some tact, compassion, sensitivity. And then, like I said, consider whether you're the right person to have this conversation with them, as it should be coming from a really genuine place of care and concern. But yeah, the most important things to bring are empathy, patience, non-judgmental support. And just remember, you can't force someone to accept the truth, but your efforts, to educate them, to protect them, that could prevent further emotional and financial harm. So it's always worth giving it a go.
And I've got to say, I've got to take a quick break in a minute or two, and then I'm going to come back and tell you about a scam that, and I want to get your feedback on it, because I believe it covers just about everything that you've said today. But I guess the most important thing is, apart from, you've just really got to empathise with them and have some patience with them, don't you? Because, I mean, they might immediately say, oh, you're just lying, and then eventually come around.
Exactly. They might, you know, hate what you've said and get upset, but then the next time they're talking to this person that they believe they're in a relationship with, some of the things that you've said start ringing true. They might be like, oh, that doesn't really make sense. Oh, it is a bit strange that you're requesting money for this when you have this high-paying job that, like you said, you know, these things are maybe going to catch up with them, and it might be a day after the conversation, a week, a month, but whatever you've tried to do, it's from a place of care and concern, so you can't really go wrong.
All right, I need to take a quick break. We'll back in a couple minutes. I want to tell you about a scam I heard about just prior to Christmas.
A melody beneath the stars, my 10 guitars will play a song for you. And if you're with the one you love, this is what you do. Oh, dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars. And very soon you song for you. And if you're with the one you love, this is what to do. Oh, dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars. And very soon you when you ten guitars.
I'm talking to Mia from Crime Stoppers. Mia, I'll get you at the end of this little story to give out your phone number again, so because I think some people might start to realise that things are quite great. Look, just very quickly, prior to Christmas, because of the sort of show I do here, that I often get people ringing up asking me to look at things and, you know, asking my opinion, which I try to do my best. I know some always right. But prior to Christmas, I was approached by two ladies. Both of them were widows. Both of them, unfortunately, and I think this is something we need to talk about, you and I, is how much stuff put on Facebook. Because prior to Christmas, they were both feeling very lonely and they're putting up, oh, it can be the worst time of the year and all that, and I'm not putting them down. And then they got a guy. Now, if there's a guy doing it to women, I bet there's a woman doing it to guys. So they didn't actually send a friend request to start with. They just got onto these people's Facebook pages and they would comment about something very low-key, oh, yeah, I like that, or, you know, yeah, I agree with that. And then they'd start talking about world affairs because one of these ladies had put up about the elections and all this sort of stuff. And then they started to bring like into it very quickly, and then, oh, I love talking to you, and away it kept going. And then they both got a video, same video by a guy. Now, it could be AI, it could be anything, but it's a bloke, and saying, oh, you know, we're really connecting. I think you and I can go. Oh, prior to that, they'd asked for to be Facebook friends, and because they were talking, yep, they accept them as Facebook friends, and then they started to get into, I love talking to you, and bringing love into it a bit. Now, when I looked into it, I just said, well, get off this, because I'm sure they're both scams, and they actually both reported them to Scamwatch. But it just shows you, and neither of these, like, one of these ladies has got a very high-powered job. Like, it's not somebody that couldn't see through it, and they did see through it. And I've got to say to you, when I spoke to one of them and said, look, you know, it's definitely a scam, she said, I knew you were going to tell me that, you know. She said, I almost feel like paying them some money just because they'll flirt with me. And I said, oh, just don't do it. Like, it might be $100 now. It's going to be thousands of dollars and they're going to bleed you dry, or they'll get as much as they possibly can. So, Mia, first of all, I guess one of the questions I'm asking you, people should be very, very, like, if these ladies made it very obvious they were very lonely, and this was coming into Christmas. Now, at Christmas time, there could have been a divorce during the year. There could have, their husband or wife could have shot through with somebody younger. They could have lost a child. So they're feeling very, very vulnerable. And these scumbags look up, somehow get onto their Facebook pages, see what they're saying, and that's where they hone in. So I guess the things you're being saying now, first of all, that story almost encompasses everything we've been talking about, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, you're totally right in the sense that you should be very particular about what you're sharing on your profiles on social media. You should make sure you've got strong privacy settings so people that aren't your friends can't see anything that you're posting. Yep. And firstly, and another thing you should really be doing is if you're going to accept someone on Facebook, it should be someone that you're going to know in real life. You know, if you're going to, someone you'd say hi to if you saw them down the street, not a total stranger, because these accounts, they can put up a fake photo. You don't actually know who it is that you're giving access to your information. And there are a few red flags in this particular story, that being that, you know, the romantic and dramatic and sort of over-the-top language started coming in quite early. Yep. But what you do see, like this person said, is that even if it's, you know, they just want money, I'm happy to give it to them just so they flirt with me. Well, there are stories of this happening a lot where people think, oh, you know, even if it is a scam, I don't care. I get to talk to someone every day and they make me feel good. But the thing is, they will stop talking to you eventually, and you will find someone that will talk to you and won't be a scammer if you just look in the right places. So you can have, you know, online dating websites and accounts where you need your ID to sign up. These are much better and much safer options when it comes to finding a connection online.
Yeah. And I just think it's terrible that there are scammers out there. But, I mean, they're always going to do it. But, I mean, fancy playing on people's emotions, particularly at Christmas. And I guess nobody contacted me about Valentine's Day, but I'll bet there were the scammers were out there. And this is probably an unfair question to ask, but I'll ask it, and you can always say you don't know. When you get reports of scammers, is it mainly women that report it, or men, or would it be 50-50?
Honestly, we don't have that information, but what I do know is that Australians over 65 are disproportionately represented when it comes to scam losses. So it is people that don't have that ingrained understanding of technology that are falling victim to scams more often than not. Romance scams are a really, really big one. They are in regards to monetary loss. And so the highest monetary loss is investment scams and phishing scams, and then it's romance scams. But it's just really, really sad that these people are being targeted. It's always vulnerable people who are lonely, and it's a really cruel scam that leaves victims quite devastated financially and, of course, in this sense, emotionally.
Yeah, the reason why I ask that is I can imagine a guy, I have no doubt it happened, that there are women, they're pretending to be women to do it to men, but I would have thought that the men are probably would feel awfully embarrassed that they'd be communicating with some younger woman who they thought would be in want to be in a relationship. Whereas, I mean, some of these women, I think, are more forthcoming, and they say, or I think this might be a problem.
Well, I think that you're right.
Women are conceited, you know.
Well, you know what? It is definitely an underreported thing, scams. And there is an element of, you know, shame, not just for romance scams, but for all types of scams when people think, oh, I probably thought I was too smart to fall victim to a scam, when that's really not the case. No matter how smart you are, you can be a victim of a scam. You have to be vigilant all day, every day, to not fall victim to one. And so there's absolutely no shame if you do. The best thing to do is to report it, to talk about it, so that people, you know what happened to you, and they learn from your mistakes. And this gets passed on. And eventually, as a society, we become a bit more scam hardened.
And I guess the other lesson to be learned there is don't transfer money to people. And a real romance isn't going to ask another person for money, are they?
Absolutely. I wouldn't be giving money to people online that you've never met in person. I say that if that's a request that's being asked of you, you are more than likely a victim of a scam.
Yeah. Look, thank you for your time. Again, I know we've gone on a bit longer, but I particularly wanted to tell you that story because I just think it's a pits. But so we've got people listening today, and I hate to say, but one or two of them will have been or in the process of being scammed. If they've feel they are, what do they do about it?
Well, if you think that you've been a victim of a scam, you can approach your local police station and make a report, or you can report it to Scam Watch. There's a whole section of our website about scams as well. If you want to just do a little bit more research, if you think that maybe it sounds like something's not quite right in your situation. And then we also have a whole booklet about what to do if you have been scammed, and you can find that information at crimestoppersvic.com.au.
And your phone number?
And if you want to give us a call, you can call 1-800-333-000.
And again, we should, while we've been talking about crime, about the scams today, I mean, apart from that, anything that you see in your street that you don't think's right, you know, maybe cars are coming and going at all times of night. Maybe they're sitting in a park and in the late hours of night, and a car will turn up and 15 minutes, 10 minutes later, it's gone again. So they can report these to Crime Stoppers too, can't they, Mia?
Absolutely, they can. And you can stay anonymous if you wish. And, you know, it doesn't really matter how much you know. Any piece of information, small, big, it could be that missing piece in a puzzle that helps with investigations.
And you people don't take down numbers, do you?
No, we don't. We don't take IP addresses. If you'd like to remain anonymous, you can remain completely anonymous, and you don't have to tell. The thing is, we don't care who you are. We just care what you know.
Fair enough. Mia, that number again, please, 1300?
That's 1-800-333-000.
Oh, give it again because I messed it up. Sorry.
That's okay. It's 1-800-333-000.
Mia, thank you for your time again, and we look forward to talking to you the same time next month.
Thank you so much, Alan. Speak then.
Thanks, Mia. Bye.